Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live on Crowdcast. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Facebook. We're later on Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. That is all good. And here's the deal. It's the beginning of the month, or it's close to the beginning of the month. And at the beginning of the month, we always pay a little bit of tribute to our Patreon supporters. Anybody $5 and up, we have a deal with you. We read your names. We say thank you.
We made a deal. We shark-tanked you, and we took it.
Yeah, this is a real – I feel like we, the three of us, are like the Peter and Mary Janes, and the Patreon members are like the Mephistos.
Why would you fuck
of our lives? We made a deal with them.
Hit it.
That's when I think of a deal, I think of only Mephisto. That's
yes,
what I'm
but we're going to read off a bunch of names now of people we want to thank, starting it off with Oitis Larson.
Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam DeRose.
Adam Harwitz.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Elena Fontenot.
Amanda Harris.
Andrew.
Andrew Prima.
Andrew Tillman.
Bearcat PhD.
Benjamin Brown.
Carly W.
Carrie Matthews.
Chris Leatherman.
Christina Jaramillo.
Christina Rensfield.
Chris Terlizzi.
Clemens Lua.
Corby Dorby Doodle.
Curtis LaRock.
Demand Ryan.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Cabral.
Daniel Fuentes.
Closing out the Danny block with Danny Heck.
Debbie Gloom.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Doug Sadaway.
Dylan L.J.
Eduardo Martinez.
Aaron Dorian.
Jeffrey Risher.
Gerard DeVilliers.
Isaac Carter.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
James Kurtz.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
John George.
Jonathan Jong.
Jonathan McCool.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Julian Lobato.
Casey Newhaven.
Kevin Grimes.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Cody Thomas.
Kyle.
Luana Thomas.
Lucas Sink.
Mark Zeller.
Matt Tice.
Matthew C. Hernandez.
Michael Tillman.
Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick Grayson.
Official CBC chef Brett Macris.
Straight Orin Dukes.
Fan of the menu.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Pete's Pretty Kitty.
Prime Banana Comics.
Provocative Ambulance.
Rev Mikey.
And back to normal names, Robert Pettinato.
Sarah John Mueller.
Sarah Schaefer.
Scott Carpenter.
Scott England.
Stanley.
Tamela Rush.
Taylor Bryan.
Terrible Jason.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Batch.
Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
W. M. Leach.
Zachary Backman.
And Zika's Viral Comics. Thank you all for supporting
thank you
us.
All
anybody
so much.
Who is interested.
Honestly, we're getting too good at that. We need someone to come in with a wild ass name in the middle.
No.
Man, don't get
let's
cocky,
do
bro.
It. Come on, let's
don't
bring
get
it.
Cocky.
We're too cocky at that.
Yes. But if you would like to support our Patreon, you can do it from $2 and up. You get access to our Patreon Slack, which is very active and very fun to hang out in. You also get
very
back
much.
Catalog of podcasts stretching all the way back to 2011. That is literally over a decade of podcasts, thousands of podcasts you can listen to, some of which
we're so
I don't know if they're still online. Yeah.
We're so bright and full of juice back then. Now we're just all squeezed-ass raisins over here.
Oh, my God. I don't know what you're talking about. But I am going to bring in our first guest here. He is the creator of the new book, Awakening. We're very excited to talk to him about it. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Gross. Hello, Ari. Welcome.
Hey, everyone. Another squeezed-ass raisin.
Ari gets it.
Excellent. So Awakening is on Kickstarter now until February 26th, I believe. You're doing pretty well in your campaign, but hopefully you're going to get that patented comic book club bump. Before we get into it, though, otherwise I was going to sit on Pete the entire time. Pete, I'm going to kick it over to you for the back wall beat. Take it away.
Yeah, wow, you got some amazing stuff back there. I mean, you want to just point out a couple of faves? You want to reach over some shoulders here and just pull a couple good ones for us? Because it looks bananas back there.
If everyone here loves comics but hasn't read like a whole bunch of Astro City, you should just kind of do that immediately.
Nice.
Astro City is this amazing series by Kurt Busiek. I managed to go the past decade without reading Fables, and I read it. I started again to Fables last year, and now I have like a metric.
All of them. I mean, great pandemic read is Fables.
Great pandemic read. Yeah, it was like between me, my wife, and like my kids. Like that was just what was happening in the house.
Oh, nice.
And that's fantastic. Mention this Tales from the Cloakroom. That was the first. The very first comic I had published on Kickstarter. Oh, nice. This is an anthology that a bunch of us were taking Scott Snyder's comic writing class. We decided pretty immediately that we wanted to make an anthology. So we came up with this idea for everything has to be related to a jacket somehow, because his press is called My Best Jacket, which is just a combination of his son's names. But we decided it would be a cool little theme to do. And so I have a story in there, and actually that story I'm including in Awakening, and when we will get into that and why that is pretty soon.
Before we jump into Awakening, is everyone still in touch that put that book together? Because we talked about that before. We had some other folks on, and I thought that was such a cool project, and was excited if there was going to be more.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a great, like, it was a great experience working with all the people there, and Arbie Lynn Jepsen, who is one of the editors of that. And I mean, she's my editor for like kind of all things now, and she did the letters, and she's also the editor for Awakening. So nice. I mean, awesome. We've stayed a pretty tight group, at least a bunch of us have, and we've just been supporting each other, and we've got our own little Discord server and everything. So yeah, I mean,
love to see it.
Aside from like learning how to write comics, which is great in Scott's class, and Scott will go over, you know, like if you ever wanted to do a deep dive into the Court of Owls like 14 times, like he's the man to do it.
Everyone's eventually like, all right, Scott, we got it. We get it with the Court of Owls. Let it.
Yeah, they have creepy masks. Come on.
His spears. We get, yeah. But I mean, the best thing out of that class was really the community, which is like to this day is still going real strong. So, you know, lots of love to everyone out there. And nice. Yeah.
Well, you, so wait. You were about to go on your second shelf there.
Pete doesn't see people; he sees shelves.
You were about to point out some on the second shelf there. I want you not.
No. Let's not talk about what's on the shelves. What kind of shelves are they? Are they IKEA? Yeah. Did you get the?
No, don't get distracted. But don't listen.
No, I need to know about the furniture.
DC, Marvel, Star Wars is like down. I got all these from my buddy who was getting rid of all of the Star Wars comics because he was, and I quote, done with the new expanded universe. And I was like, I'll take all your comics, so there's that.
Nice.
And then I've got all Image and stuff over there, you know, Dark Horse.
So the wall goes farther than we can even see.
It's like one of these and another one of those. It keeps going. Yeah.
Nice.
Wow. Hey, Pete, real quick, what's behind you?
Just going to say the same thing. I was like, it's ironic that Pete has the blankest walls.
I used to have better walls, but I'm in my brother's basement, so not as cool. I got Chewbacca back there holding it down for me.
Where?
It's my Chewbacca mug right there.
The mug.
No doubt filled with Mountain Dew and vodka.
Very cool.
Filled with
Let's talk about this book just for a second here, if that's all right. Not to interrupt the flow, Pete. But what for you made the leap going from this Kickstarter project, successful Kickstarter project with a bunch of folks you were in class with, to doing your own thing? What was the transition like there?
So, I mean, I started writing comics about a couple years ago. I wrote this long-ass series, which is like a 12-issue basic maxi series, which I'm now turning into a thing. And after I did that, I sat on it for a bit, and everyone was like, okay, so, you know, are you going to do something with that? And I was like, yeah, I want to turn this into a real comic. I wrote a comic script. And everyone's like, cool. Have you done a comic before? And I was like, no. They're like, so you want to do a 12-issue? I'm like, no. Do like 6 pages, 5 pages, you know, 4 pages. And so I started writing a bunch of shorts. I wrote about 8 shorts. If you go to my website, arigross.ca, which you can like post in the chat or something after, I've got a whole bunch of shorts that have been in a few different anthologies. One was called Fairy Tales from Mars, where I did sort of like a little sci-fi horror thing. Another one was called I'm with the Bard. It's in this fantasy anthology, fantasy humor. So I wanted to write in all different sort of styles and genres just to like try it out, because I just love comics, as you can probably tell. And for me, it's my favorite medium, you know, and I was just wanting to get into that. So this is my first, one shot, my first single issue, just, you know, an issue thing, before it was like, you know, did the shorts part of people's anthologies. Now I'm doing a one shot. And after this is going to be starting a series, and that's for, you know, several months down the road. I'm starting to get the art back from that. It's so good. It's like, God, I'm so excited for this. But all I have to do now is just talk and think about the thing I've got now, rather than the thing I've got in the future. So, you know.
Well, let's talk about the thing you got now then, which is Awakening, which is up on Kickstarter right now. This is a very fun, without spoiling too much, very meta take on Star Trek, I think is fair
to
say.
Did you guys read the whole thing?
I did, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So what inspired this? What do you want to say about it? Because I know there's some stuff.
There's some
stuff that happens.
I've gotten good about saying stuff without saying stuff.
That's a good trick.
You have to learn how to talk about this thing, yeah. So Awakening is a Star Trek-inspired story. It starts off with the lovable Lieutenant Lau, the navigator of the ship. First page, he's hit by something. We don't know what it is, and he starts acting all kinds of funny. And then you sort of reveal that the ship is at the edge of an unknown galaxy, looking at this celestial anomaly. They don't know what it is. They're really trying to piece it together. And it deals with what is the anomaly, what is the relationship between that and the way Lau is acting, and what is the nature of any of this. You know, Lau seems to keep thinking he sees things. He's trying to get people to pay attention to something that no one else is seeing. Is he right? Is he wrong? You know, trying to walk that sort of interesting line of, he could be right, he could be wrong, until you sort of get to the end and see what's sort of happening in a deeper level. So anyway, I really, this story is one of those stories that just sort of came to me kind of in its inception, more or less fully formed, at least the basic structure of it. And I wanted to tell a Star Trek style story for a couple of reasons. First, I love Star Trek. I mean, I grew up watching The Next Generation, and Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds are like high on my like to watch list of TV shows these days. I love the
Let
mythos,
me just interrupt you real quick to yeah. say, I think that is so apparent in this book. Like, you nailed the like Star Trek Next Generation GAC conversations.
Oh,
and I love it. It's one of my favorite things about rewatching TNG, where when they're talking about like, well, the aphasic shielding is easy to, and it's just like all these terms
right,
that
yeah.
they are using
blah,
so
blah, blah,
casually,
blah, 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 yeah.
and we don't know what it is, but they're using it so confidently. We're like, I'm going to figure out what that is by listening more. And you nail yeah. that in this book in a way that I was so impressed with. So shouts to them. Sorry.
Oh, thank you so much. If nothing else, I wanted to give the feeling of watching a Star Trek episode, you know, like the
yeah.
tone, the sort of the issues that people are dealing with, Star Trek really also helps for this, because you can have characters that are very obviously like, if you're familiar with Star Trek at all, you don't need any introduction to the story. From the first page, you're looking at it, you're like, oh, that tough person looking is probably a security officer. Person who says, we got to haul him to the med bay as the medical officer. Someone who's like, science, science, science. You know, like, oh, they're like, you know, the Vulcan of the crew, the science officer. Like, the captain's got the little hat, which I thought was really funny, because I want to put a hat on him. My arse and I had a discussion about, like, should he have a hat? Why does he need a hat? I was like, but I like
yeah.
the hat. it's what it comes down to sometimes, you know.
And I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but I just want to mention for anybody who's listening who's interested in this book, like Justin was saying, there's some great Star Trek stuff in here in terms of really channeling it. But it's not just a Star Trek fan comic. It's not just like
yeah.
my interpretation of Star Trek. There's more going on. Again, I don't know how much you want to say about that, if anything.
Right. I'll keep it tight for now so people can pick it up and tell me what they think.
All right, fair enough.
But if I can say without saying it, like, it touches on like a larger understanding of that world and speaks to themes that I think were touched upon in a lot of Star Trek series of like, and I think you maybe mentioned this in the write-up of it, but like faith, belief, like some larger ideas that are sort of right there next to the science fiction take, which I think pluses it up a little bit, if I may, like Alex is saying.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, everything I try to write, I try to have fairly, I don't want to say fairly sophisticated themes, it sounds like, too much, but like I try to get like the high level sort of stuff with the, you know, with the characters that'll propel you to move you forward and get interested in them and find a way to really like work that together. And it's funny, I never really thought I would be like writing comics about like faith, since that's not a huge part of my life, but I think it's a really interesting theme to explore, especially in the context of like a sci-fi thing like this. And I don't know, I guess as you've read Awakening and then Chosen, which I'm sure you've read since it just follows it, like it's similar, you know, different take, but, you know, kind of similar themes about, you know, faith and believing and being like, this is the thing we have to do because this is what I've been taught and this is what I know to be true in my deep inner heart, you know. But anyway, you'll see as you read it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, and talk about the Kickstarter a little bit. What can people expect? What can they get if they head over to the Kickstarter?
Yeah, so the Kickstarter, the hardest part of doing the Kickstarter was deciding what not to do because I was like, I want to do 4 million things. And everyone was like, dude, it's your first Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Like, do like a couple or something, man. So what I chose to do is, I mean, there's the digital copy, the physical copy, usual stuff. The next thing is we call it the Beach Day postcard, which is a cool postcard of everyone lounging on the beach. And there's some text on the back, which if you get it, you can see what it says, see who it's from and who it's to and what it's about, if anything. And after that, we got stickers. That was just a fun opportunity to pick some images from Awakening, from Chosen, from my own. This raccoon is the symbol of College Street Comics, which is, I guess, just me writing comics. I live pretty close to a street called College Street. It's mm-hmm. a major street in Toronto, and so it's sort of like a very
and cool thing. A raccoon did your inking as well, right?
A raccoon did all of my inking, yeah. It's okay, a little known fact, but they have opposable thumbs, and so they're strikingly good comic inkers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus, trash pandas,
like
but
fur's like a big paintbrush.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's sometimes you see it. Yeah.
Pete, when he has to write something, dips his whole beard into ink and just...
Yeah, if you've ever had a signed Pete LePage product, it's just a smooshed beard.
I'll take it, yeah.
Well, Ari, your project is awesome. It's very cool.
Yeah, congrats.
Fingers crossed, I think you're going to make it on the Kickstarter, and I'm very excited to read more from you. It's great stuff.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much. I just want to mention before, there's two other things on Kickstarter. One of the two highest tiers, the second highest tier is, I guess, the Admiral tier. I've named them after all, like Ensign, Lieutenant, blah, blah, blah. And for that tier, you can get original art from our artist, Greg Warrenshock. If you go to the Kickstarter page, you'll see me, a picture of me with my arms draped around Goltok, the security officer, around the legs of Goltok in a very classic sort of pose. And he'll do a sketch for you. And if you like that kind of thing, there's more that came from. And the final tiers, we're selling the original art. So if you see something that you really like, if you think it would be cool to have a piece of, I don't know, history, like everything is technically a piece of history, but you know, I'll claim that this is more so than others for rhetorical purposes. That's a tier as well. So I strongly encourage people to check out those two.
Cool. Awesome. Ari, thank you so much for coming on. Absolute pleasure. Good luck with everything.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. A pleasure.
Later. Right.
There we go. Once again, the book is called Awakening. It is currently on Kickstarter until February 26th. Very fun. Definitely check it out from Ari Gross. Thank you to him coming on. I want to mention before we bring in our next guest, Pete, I made a joke about your beard and I started doing that. And halfway through, I was like, we all have beards now.
You all do. Yeah,
I know.
And Justin was making fun of my background, but he's got a Christmas tree in his background. It's February, bro. Get it together. You know what I mean? So like, get it together, bro. It's Feb.
It's Feb. There's no doubt it's not Feb. The thing is, I was just talking about like you are so into backgrounds, and my background is commentable because it's a horror show.
Yeah, you live in a murder basement.
That's what I'm saying. So like that's my thing. Ari's thing was having a lot of comics. Alex's thing is having, I guess, like a Yoda or something back there.
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
And then Pierre's is having a Chewbacca mug filled with, I don't know, Punisher
Pez.
Bullets or something.
It's Pez.
Pez? Loose
Why
Pez?
So much Pez?
Wait, is that true? Is it actually full of Pez?
It's a loose Pez. It's like the, you know, Mandalorian Pez dispenser. And...
Oh, it's Wait. A full of Pez dispensers?
Or yeah, is it loose Pez is the question.
Oh, my God. We got another guest. Let's go, man. It's
Feb,
not loose
it's Pez.
Pez.
It's Feb. It's Pez. Okay.
We do have another guest that I do want to bring into the stream. Yeah. He is the creator of a new project from Zoop called Gilgamesh that is very cool. Ladies and gentlemen, Cam Kirkow, hello. Welcome to the stream.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for coming on. This is a cool, very messed up comic that I'm excited to talk about.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about it.
It's pretty awesome. The correct me if I'm wrong. So you did the first issue on Kickstarter, and you're doing issue 1 and 2 together on Zoop. Is that how it's working right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, the Zoop campaign is primarily to fund the production of the second issue. But, you know, I wanted to give people a chance to come in on the first.
Well, cool. Talk to us about this project, because it's a take on the classic Gilgamesh story everybody knows, but it feels updated is probably the wrong word, but intensified, perhaps, would you say?
I like that word. I haven't thought of that before, but I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that from now on. Yeah. So Gilgamesh Eternal is it's a modern intensified adaptation of humanity's first ever story.
The art on this is bananas, man.
Yeah,
I know. Costas is a genius. My jaw drops every time I get a new page from him. Anyway, so you know, the Epic of Gilgamesh. It's about King Gilgamesh, who's this kind of intolerable. Intolerant, just all around, like very unlikable king. He's so unlikable that all of his people pray to the gods to do something about it. So the gods, they make his exact opposite and equal, and they send that guy to fist fight him, and they fight to a draw. It was a really good fight because they fell in love. At least in my version, they're in love. And, you know, after that, Gilgamesh becomes a little likable, and him and Enkidu go on some adventures, slaying monsters, just trying to gather as much glory as they can. Unfortunately, they make a lot of enemies along the way, and it's all going to end way too fast for him, which is kind of where we find him in the second issue, is dealing with the repercussions of the battle and the end of the first.
Why Gilgamesh? I mean, this is a story that's been told a million different ways, a million different times. What drew you to it, and what do you feel your original or different take on it was?
When I read the Epic of Gilgamesh a few years ago, I was really struck by how universal his Gilgamesh's struggle is. The story is ultimately about somebody coming to terms with his own mortality. There was something very touching about being able to look so deep into humanity's past. You know, it seems obvious, but just the fear of your own mortality is something that, you know, I don't think we're ever going to get away from. It just felt like a very, very universal story to me. And it felt like really something that would make a cool comic book. I mean, Gilgamesh is the first epic hero, which means he's the first superhero. And it's really hard to, at least for my brain, to read the myth without seeing it as a comic. And what makes it different? Well, this is my creative interpretation. So I'm not following the myth exactly to a T. The first issue is pretty much more or less what you would expect from the epic, but starting in the second issue, we're going to veer a little bit off. We're going to see some branching paths, especially from some minor characters like Shamhat, the high priestess. She's going to take a more forward-facing role in the second half of the myth. Also, book has a very unique look to it.
Agreed.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I love the flourishes. Like, this page we're looking at now, the panel on the left there, like, it's a little bit, you know, it's not quite as clean corners. It's meant to have a bit of character to it. There's one later where there's a little crown on Gilgamesh's head right after the fight, I believe. And those little flourishes add so much. It's really, really nice. Was that something that you had written in, or did you work with the artist?
No, that was all Costas. Not only is Costas like a really inspired creative thinker, but he's also just he goes the extra mile in his art, and it shows on every single page. He treats every single page with a degree of care and love that, like, it's just impressive. I'm impressed every time.
Well, what was it like going from issue one to issue two, now that you were used to that art style? Was that something you were able to lean into a little bit? How did your relationship change potentially?
Well, I think over the course of creating the first issue, because we did it over such a long period of time, you know, with it being a crowdfunded book, the schedule is a little bit different than a traditional 22 to 28 page comic. So we had a lot of time to get to know each other and understand how each other works. I love Costas because I will write a full script, I'll do three drafts, I'll send it to him, and then he will ignore it, and he'll call me up on the phone and say, all right, what are we doing on page one?
Wow. One of the things I really liked about the way you sort of unfold the story here, I feel like in so many, like, gods walk among us stories, it's like the gods are sort of doing their own thing in their secret place. Then they come down to Earth or whatever the analogous place is, and they sort of like hang out, but there's never a real connection. And in this, they're in the mix. It's like if in an episode of Friends, Rachel was like, I'm dating Hercules. He punched he punched a hole in Ross, or like whatever the story is. And so, like, what brought you to that? Because it's such a richer, and it feels more mythological in the sort of the Greek and traditional myths.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it made sense to me. I think maybe it having to do with the age of the story, how old it is, and how, you know, I think maybe the further in the past we go, maybe it's more and more believable that, you know, the makeup of the world was different back then, and maybe, you know, we were closer to the gods back then, kind of thing.
How far do you see this going? You have the second issue, as we mentioned, on Zoop. You've been successful, so you're definitely going to be making that. Is that the end of the Gilgamesh story? Is there more to it to come, or is it kind of wait and see at this point?
One more issue. Three issues total.
Okay. Cool. And if you go to the Zoop, we really got to figure out what we're calling
it.
Go to
the Zoop. Go to the Zoop. It's Feb. You got to go to the Zoop.
Yeah, Zoop. Here you are. What do you get there? What do you get at the Zoop campaign?
All right. So we have three covers. We have the cover A from Costas. We have cover B from Kit Wallace. He did this really cool, dramatic, angry-looking Gilgamesh battle-ready pose thing, which was cool because we don't usually kind of see that side of Gilgamesh very much in the interior art. And then we have cover C from Dennis Menhir featuring Shamhat and Nana and Ninsun in, I can't describe the cover. It's too beautiful. You got to go look at it yourself. We're nice. Also doing, I'm offering editing services. I've spent a couple of years now as a professional editor in comics. So you'll be able to get two read-throughs of your standard length comic script for, I think it's like $50. We're doing sketch cards from Costas. We were doing original art as well, but I think those all got bought up. I might have to bug them to get some more.
Very cool. Pete, you want to ask Cam any questions about what's going on behind him or anything like that?
He's got some whiteboard philosophies, looks like he's got going on in the corner there a little bit.
This is not my house.
Yes.
Yeah. Burn. This isn't my house either. Yeah. That's cool, right? That's a cool thing to say.
Yeah.
I'm in someone else's house too, but they don't know I'm here.
That's all. Shit. Cam, before we let you go, anything else you want to plug other than the Zoop?
Well, you know, other than Gilgamesh and Zoop, I'm also editing a book right now called Nightwalkers from Cullen Bunn and Joe Picardo. I think we're in pre-orders for the third issue right now, if I'm not wrong. So go to your local comic store and pick up the first two issues.
Nice. Excellent.
All right, Cam, thank you so much for coming on. The project is so cool. I'm very excited that it's successful, and I'm excited to check out issue number two.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Have a good night. All right, once again, the project is called Gilgamesh. It is on Zoop right now from Cam.
There it is.
Zoop. There it is.
For
yes.
me to Zoop on. That's where you find it.
Oh, these Zoops are making me thirsty. No, no Zoop for you.
That's the one.
No Zoop for you.
That's the one.
There it was.
You come back next week. Close. No Zoop for you.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now it's time to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section, is your audience questions.
Oh, yeah.
What a great harmony, like angels.
And for audience questions, all you're going to do is drop a question in Q&A on Crowdcast or in the comments over on YouTube or Facebook,
drinking?
And we'll get to it. And in the meantime, let's talk about
What are you drinking?
Always like, let's get to the next section.
What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What drink is in your stomach? Peter always wants to know what's behind people and in their stomachs.
That's right.
What are you drinking, guy?
Pete?
Well, I want to hear from Foster's Australian for Beer over here. He's got a giant beer can in his hand.
I got a giant oil can.
What, you writing it? You're making up names and just writing it on there? That doesn't seem very good.
I got this. This farmhouse ale from the farm brewery.
Do you buy it from a homeless person and they just write what kind it is? Like, oh, that, yeah, this is a farmhouse ale. Yeah,
I mean, what is beer but just juice that a stranger gives you? It's from my
stranger juice.
My farm share from this farm out on Long Island. They bring us vegetables and occasionally beer, and God. I love it all. It's great.
Nice. Pete, what are you drinking?
I'm still polishing off the old Florida Man beers.
Now, do you feel like you're becoming more of a Florida Man? Because I think you are.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say.
Is it?
No, it's
that's not nice. I'm having a Mezcal Negroni.
Ooh, okay, big time. All right.
Daddy's medicine. You know what, Alex? I'm going to have one of those later on because I got the fixings for it, and it's one of my fave versions of that.
So good. So good.
Must be fun. Having like bars and ingredients in your place.
I heard the Charlie Brown music in my head while you were saying that.
What, are you living in a dry county? You can't get liquor. You need your brother to put it in your fridge. Are you imprisoned in your brother's house? Is that what we're learning here?
Feels that
this
way.
A man
sometimes.
Who was just out in San Diego, California, flying all around the country.
Yeah, Pete. Big we didn't even talk about this yet. Before we get audience questions, Pete. Went on a vacation to the zoo for like a whole weekend in San Diego, visiting a bunch of monkeys and alligators and stuff.
Was,
I think that's what was going on.
This guy's like 5 months early for Comic Con. It's Feb.
Oh it was
you're sleeping out, true. Right? You're sleeping
it's
out.
Oceanside, California. Okay. As we all know, where the Mission Impossible house is, and they have the motorcycle parked out front. You can't miss it.
Wow.
They sell pie there now. Fun fact, it's a pie house.
You've said a bunch of nonsense. I don't understand how it fits together. What Mission Impossible house? What motorcycle? I don't want to know.
What do you mean by pies?
I'm sorry. I did. I said Mission Impossible. I meant to say Top Gun. It's the Top Gun house.
Now, Now, wait, sorry, remind me of Top Gun. That's the movie where Tom Cruise flies a house around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He buzzes
yeah.
the
Says,
town.
Says, I'll
with
get
his
you,
house.
My pretty. Yeah. All right, why don't we go to some questions here because we got a couple already. This is from Kevin. This is a low difficulty one from Kevin, I think.
All
what
right.
Marvel and DC characters do you think should host cooking shows?
Yes, great question. Great We've been question. Talking in this our Patreon Slack about the future of television and the potentially bleak outlook of that. And it may the future may be all cooking shows.
I mean, obviously you have Aquaman on there and you do some seafood and you watch him lose his shit. I mean, that's
you think he cooks fish? He's cooking a fish?
No, you don't. Obviously, tell him that you're cooking fish. You just have him standing there, and then he'll notice you're cooking fish, and then he'll lose his mind.
It's a surprise every time.
Yeah.
What about Deadpool's chimichanga cooking show?
Oh, come on. I mean, that's just, yeah.
It's a little focused on one dish, both guys. A lot of cooking shows.
A lot of different combinations of chimichanga you can do. I mean,
absolutely. You could put literally anything in a chimichanga.
That's right.
That's a great point. I guess if you need breaking the fourth wall and having the cooking show host comment on how your kitchen sucks might be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That'd be fun.
For it to go. I don't know. How about Superman cook stuff with his eyes?
Oh, okay. That'll nice. Work.
But then nice. he could cook different stuff, different dishes across the different cuisines. He could also cook from a distance. He could stand at the top of the Daily Planet building and just cook someone's food from across the city.
How about, I haven't really fully worked this one out, but how about, like, Etrigan? I feel like Etrigan, I could see him with, like, an apron, cooking something, rhyming the entire show.
That's a fun poem.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to teach you how to cook from 1 to 10 because I am the demon Etrigan, something like that.
Nice.
I don't know.
That's good.
I'll workshop it.
You could have the question cook a bunch of stuff, and then you, like, blindfold do, like, a taste test to see which one you like better type of thing.
Yeah, but she doesn't have a mouth. That's a problem for a cooking show.
No, she's cooking it. She's not.
No, but you got to do that. You have to get taste at the end.
A lot of chefs actually taste her.
Have you been watching the show on Food Network where they cook the dish and the chef is like, I don't want to taste it.
No, I don't want to try it. Yeah. No, you never. You try it. You try.
No, you try it first.
You've undercooked your lasagna, but fortunately, your mouth is sewn shut like a scene from the movie Saw.
All right, we got a couple here over on YouTube. This is from Frederico Rosa. Check out the tube. If you pick your current favorite writer and your current favorite artist, what genre or specific character would you like to see them working on? Ooh, that's sort of a three-part question. So
yeah.
Current favorite writer, current favorite artist, and then what genre would they work on together?
Great question across the board. I've been, let me just say the Human Target is a book I've really been enjoying, so I'll pick Tom mm-hmm. King mm-hmm. from that. Mm-hmm. Artist, I'm going to go weird with my artist choice. Not my current favorite, but one from the past that was really cool, like Joe Madera from the late 90s. So you get Tom King, Joe Madera, and they do like a hard superhero story. No, like, taking a superhero story out of it, like a full-on Infinity Gauntlet style crossover written by Tom King.
Could Tom King do that, though? Could he, like, tamp down his impulses?
Let me say, I don't think you have to tamp it down. It's like an economy of scale thing where, like, his thing is he picks a character and just blows it out. But what if you did a small blowout on a ton of characters in a crossover and just really focused on having dialogue that's really rooted in their story, finding fun new ways to use powers? Like, it would be very cool to do something like that, I think.
I'll throw out, I'm having a hard time with favorite writer, but I've been really enjoying the stuff that Sarah Gellie has been doing.
Oh, nice.
The Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Know Your Station is great. And art-wise, I will read anything that Aaron Cooter draws. You know, he's over on, he's on Avengers Forever now, right? No, wait, what's the other one called? There's Avengers and whatever the second
one. All Out Avengers.
No, it's like Avengers Assemble or something like that. The second part of the Avengers Forever crossover, whatever it is, love them. Maybe like a hard horror story would be great. I mean, I know Sarah Gellie is kind of doing that already with Know Your Station, but it's kind of a more of a sci-fi horror story. But something like In the Woods, horror, monsters, just because Aaron Cooter has that heavily detailed style and the stuff Sarah Gellie has been doing on Buffy the Vampire Slayer has been leading into that anyway. I think that would be cool. What about you, Pete?
I'm going to go with Chris Bachalo.
I knew you were. I almost stole it. on purpose, but I did. I'm
oh, thank you. And let's go with Greg Pak. And I want to see like a real like Western, old school spaghetti Western style story.
They have to have worked together before, right?
I don't know. That's a combo I can't think of any book. But that does make me think of, like, what if we had, like, a Chip Zdarsky-written Batman Joker story where the Joker was funny? Like, imagine the Joker being actually
That's
funny.
Hard. That's hard to do.
It's not. Writing jokes is not hard.
Well,
if you're a comedy writer.
But it's a specific kind of comedy. It's got to be a twisted, dark kind of comedy.
I disagree. I think the story can be twisted, but the jokes can be funny. Like, his name is The Joker. And I feel like he's been getting by on some pretty shitty jokes lately.
Wow.
Where he's leaning
into I'll say,
the Joker right now, bro.
I like the way that this is getting very off topic, but I like the way that Matthew Rosenberg is writing
his
Joker Battles Laughs, who he's been building every issue around the Joker telling jokes. So yeah. I feel like that at least leans into what you're talking
about. And I also like that story, but I'm saying like I want like a full on knockdown drag out.
Oh, wait, here's a good one, guys.
You want somebody funny like a Dane Cook to write a comic.
Yeah. All right.
Great. Save it for Weekend Geek.
Guys.
Dane Cook getting into the Valiant universe.
Guys, we think about this, right? So it's a story about love and about a broken relationship. But it's also about a murder falcon, okay? And I'm not sure. Maybe we'll get Daniel Warren Johnson to write and draw it. I don't know. I don't know if it would work. But
now, is the Falcon getting murdered, or is it murdering other people?
It's a murdering evil and not people, okay? Murder Falcon is the good guy.
Let's plus it down a little bit, okay? And just make it just like a Falcon that's getting murdered. This is from Stray Bullet. What is everyone's preferred garbage plate setup?
Yes.
You can pick up anything, which seems like you already can. What would you fill your garbage plate with?
Oh,
Pete,
we
got to go for you first because you...
Such a great question. I'm going to switch it up from my usual. I'm going to go with two White Hots instead of two cheeseburgers just because I want to mix it up.
Coming in hot right off the plate.
White Hot.
Yeah. I'm going to go with some White Hots. Then I'm going to go with the French fries mac salad. That's never going to change. And, of course, ketchup and mustard with the meat hot sauce all over it. I mean, come on.
So,
how about you guys?
You just literally spew food nonsense. What are the components that signify a garbage plate? Like,
okay, well,
otherwise you're just eating a mess.
Well, here's the thing. You have meat options, right? So you could go cheeseburg, hamburg. You can go chicken.
It's a
red
meat.
Hot, white hot. Yep.
It's a meat and then a pasta and then a carb?
I don't know. There's no pasta. Well, it's macaroni salad. Get beans.
That's actually technically pasta. So you're saying it's a chilled salad?
No, I'm just saying it's
you
not like
beans?
You're not getting linguine and clams over here. You know what I mean? So
don't tell me about my garbage plate.
Yeah. Macaroni salad is technically salad. Go ahead, Pete.
Okay, so you go with the meat option, and then you've got like you can do beans, you can do fries, you can do all sorts of different kind of mixings. You can do coleslaw. You can do all sorts of different kind of sides. But the main thing that you can't not have on there is the meat hot sauce because they cook that all day. And it's a marinated thing that is not that hot, but it is delicious.
I look forward to Pete, billionaire LePage, having a Kobe beef, caviar, and some fingerling potato shit. Like, he's on his yacht. He's sitting
potato
back
shoots.
And eating a spoonful of this high-end garbage plate still covered in meat hot sauce.
Glorious.
And I'm serving him a vodka and Mountain Dew probably because I had to become his butler for some reason.
Right.
Oh,
and
man.
In this scenario, I'm...
It'd be worth the millions I would have to pay you for that.
Yeah.
No, you're like the captain of the yacht, I think.
Oh, the captain of the yacht. Okay, I really thought I was going to be the meat sauce in this scenario.
Well, I mean, by the end of this day, you could be both, definitely. Depending on how the day goes. And us three at sea, we've seen it. It was a problem.
It was problematic, for sure.
We definitely should have got the all-inclusive.
But I didn't, you guys should tell me what you would want on your, what your plate would be.
I said, caviar.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. I'll start you off. You want cheeseburger? You want chicken? You want hot dog? What do you want for your meat?
I like to keep my hot dog in the bun. You know what I mean?
It feels like that's get out of here.
Home. I mean, here's the thing. I like a mess plate. I don't quite get the sense of a garbage plate. Like, I like it if it, I don't know. There was this restaurant I was ordering for the other night, and they had buffalo chicken nachos, which I didn't get, but I was like, oh, that sounds fun to like throw some buffalo chicken on a nacho. That to me feels like the level of like, that's a mess that I'd like. This thing, there's too many things there. It's really, honestly, it's the macaroni salad that pushes me over the edge. I'm like, what is that doing there? I'm not quite sure what's going on.
You're talking about it's your base. It's like your first level.
Just real quick, sorry, I have a quick question. Do you guys remember when we were a comic book show? Isn't that weird?
That was Alex.
No, that was a long time ago. I'm sorry.
It was a long time ago.
Take it away.
It was like 14
Let me throw it out
ago.
Here. I'm gonna go with some pork.
Pork chops? You get pork chops?
Not pork chops. Like a pork shoulder that's been cooked the shit out of it, but not barbecue sauce. Like a different sauce. On it, you got your potato salad. Is my macaroni salad alt?
Okay.
You follow me on that?
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Is that you get it?
Do you get it allowed?
Yes, it's not. Am I going to be laughed out of Rochester with these insane ideas? And then I'm going to throw in because you need a little crunch there. Obviously, is what you're getting from your French fries.
Yeah, we could put some Fritos on there if you want.
Salt and vinegar potato chips.
Ooh, nice. I would one up you and say the Carolina barbecue chips, because it does a salt and vinegar and a barbecue and a chip, which is so much more delicious.
Let me just say the ultimate chip is the crab seasoning chip from Utz. Just to be clear, like there's no other chip. If I had those every day, I would be
the Old Bay chips.
The Old Bay chips.
Well, they're two different. There's the crab, the ones that don't have the Old Bay license.
Have you ever had, I think it's Hers makes this, it's Old Bay cheese puffs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't get on with cheese puffs.
No, but they're not cheese puffs.
I'm in Baltimore. They put Old Bay on everything down here. It's glorious.
They're the most insane thing ever. It's crazy. All right, we got a bunch of stuff over on YouTube that I want to get to. This is right across the plate for our friend JT Sissel here. This is from David Quitley. So why do you think the last year was so lukewarm in quality in Marvel movies? And I know there's a disagreement here because Pete doesn't think so. Justin does, but take it away.
Yeah, I think a couple things. It felt like there was no composition to this phase. It was just like, we don't have a particular plan we're executing now, so you're just going to get some movies that are hanging around. And I think there are a lot of creative changes. I think we have to see if this is – we're at a place where Marvel is going to be able to get the next phase on track, because there was a lot of talk about this during the James Gunn stuff, where his big thing with the new DCU is like, hey, we're going to actually write the scripts before we start shooting. And I'm worried that maybe – Marvel isn't doing it. It feels like there's a lot of let's do the set pieces first when it needs to be story first, because otherwise the movies are squabbled.
Well, just interrupt, and then I want to kick it over to Pete just for some clarification here. This is obviously very rumory, but there has been a lot of talks about, because of the general reception to Phase 4, they put a bit of a pause on stuff to do exactly what you're saying, Justin, which is reevaluate the scripts, reevaluate the attribution, like things at the right time. And we'll say, if you look at and marketing, it's very clear that we're focusing on, like, okay, here we go. We're in a very dubious case.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time understanding your audio. Your audio is
weird.
Your mic
is weird or something.
Yeah, it kind of cut out, so that's why I was making that dubious face. I wasn't trying.
Oh, my God. Can you guys hear me better now?
Yes.
That's good.
Oh, great. Okay, I made the most basic point.
Oh, now it's still gone again.
Now it's gone
again. Gone again?
Yeah. When you start to be a douchey pontificator, your microphone cuts off. It's almost like you went to Cornell and your mic's smarter than you are.
Wow, what a slam. I heard Alex say, I agree with Justin, and that's when maybe I just stopped listening.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why Alex would agree with you. I just think that, you know, a lot of people are throwing a lot of shade right now. And what's crazy is we've had these... you know, it's been Marvel movie after Marvel movie. And, you know, sometimes you got to do a touching, amazing story like Wakanda Forever. And it might not be, you know, the thing that kind of, but it is an unbelievable movie that was nearly 3 hours, that was very emotional. And every time I watch it, I get choked up. It's just so beautiful.
But that movie was definitely very emotional. It was about grief. I wouldn't call it touching. It was intensely about grief in a way that was like...
It can be touching. Don't say it's not touching, motherfucker.
I'm just saying the grief is... touching implies like maybe some sentimentality, and I think this movie goes way harder. I would never put that word there because it goes so hard in at much more intense emotions.
I don't know if you can hear me now, but I agree with Justin.
Yeah, nice job. Yeah, you nailed it.
Very cool. Okay, obviously we're going to be talking about this a lot more, particularly with Ant-Man opening soon. Let's see. There is a bunch of discussion happening here on YouTube.
About
box office prospects for Ant-Man, talking about the movies. But we do have one here from Stanley. Any new podcasts, shows coming?
Oh, Stanley.
I think we could say.
We're working on some ideas.
Calm down. I will say, just in terms of
titles,
things coming up, we've been in a little bit of a pause here as I've been horribly sick and unable to talk about it on a mic mostly. So I haven't really been pushing anything too much. But we do have a bunch of stuff coming down the pike. When we've been talking about ideas, we've been trying to factor in that it's the final season of Riverdale and they have anywhere between 20 and 22 episodes, and that's kicking off at the end of March. Wow. There's a new season of Invincible. There's a new season of Sweet Tooth coming. There is more Doom Patrol, even though the show is sadly canceled. So we'll be talking about the last episode.
Mike's gone.
Mike is going again.
It's very weird. It's like your mic switched to something else because we're also hearing like a fan noise or something.
That's me?
It's weird because it's like your mic is like tired of your nonsense. It's almost like, yeah, this guy, I mean, we get it. Like, let's just cut him off because he's just kind of.
I think Alex's point is we do have a lot coming, but we are going to kick off another larger project very soon that we will. I guess we can't really say anything about it right now, but yes, we have lots more coming.
I don't know if you guys can hear me. The fan is not me. That's not me.
Nice. Yeah.
Michael Tillman, I wish there was a Secret Punisher podcast coming, but fingers crossed. That'd be an amazing. Amazing thing. There's a lot of great Punisher stuff happening in comics right now. Yeah.
If we did a Secret Punisher podcast, it would not be a secret.
That's true. It's true.
Would a Punisher podcast be? Would it just be talking about the Punisher movies? Oh, I guess there was a TV show too. We could talk about
that. You could just talk about the comics, asshole. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, and also a hit TV show.
Is he in comics?
Oh my God.
He writes comics, I think.
Oh, okay. This is from Nat, and hopefully you can hear me read this one. Question from someone who's going through his childhood comic collection. How do you guys deal with all of your old comics? Which comics did you decide to keep forever?
Well, that's tough, Nat. He just puts them in piles, and his wife then yells at him, and then he tries to hide them in a different location. You get designated pile zones. Yep. I mean, you got piles of comics. You got a Christmas tree back there. Your life is a fucking shit show, man.
It's amazing. It's Christmas and comics all day long. What are we arguing about?
Oh, look at Invincible.
Invincible number 90?
Nat, to tell you the truth, I tried to go through this, and it's for me, it was like, the big stuff, emotionally stuff that hit me that I decided to keep, the stuff that you can't get rid of. Maybe the stuff that kind of like is a certain time in your life that brings you back. That to me is the important comics, not just the expensive ones, but the ones that really kind of hit you in a special spot. But it's hard because comics take up a ton of room, and it's hard to make that decision between like what will give me the most money versus what is the most meaningful to me, and how do you cross those lines. But yeah, good luck with that. I mean, going through your childhood comics collection is kind of like going in time and visiting yourself and kind of like deciding what's not important enough to keep. It's a tough thing to do, man. I wish you luck with it.
And well, and it's good though. Like, I think that's such a valuable thing. Like, it does take you back to when you first read it and when you had time to really read something, think about it, invest yourself in it, which is a little bit harder to do now. When I moved in, when my wife and I moved in together, I did a big purge, and the comics I kept, I got rid of a lot of sort of middle tier, like X-Men runs or Spider-Man runs or things like that, and ended up keeping a lot of the more interesting stuff and stuff that I did have sentimental attachment with.
I'll also throw out there, I 100% agree with you guys. The other thing, and maybe this is very specific to doing a comic book podcast, but something else that I factor in is how much am I going to be potentially referring to the thing? Like, for example, my oldest kid was getting rid of a bunch of comics, and I looked through the box, and one of the things that I kept was the sort of like essential Archie digest of like the essential Sabrina comics, the essential Jughead comics that my kid didn't care about anymore. But I thought, oh, there's a possibility I might need to check these out for the show, or might be interested in looking at them at some point just for historical reference or things like that. So that I think everything that you guys are saying is 100% true and a way more pure and accurate reason of why you should keep comics. But that's another factor that I threw in there. Just to mention,
it's hard, man. It's tough to give away your babies or try to sell them off for money. It's an emotional thing to try to do.
We got one last question here I wanted to throw out to you guys. This is from Frederico Rosa on YouTube. Do you guys have a guess of when the Marvel shows start this year, considering Mandalorian starts in March? Will we only get Secret Invasion around May? And I'll note, I have been very surprised about this. Yeah. We have not had a Marvel show for a long time now, like a relatively long time in a very surprising way.
Ms. Marvel was the last, right?
She-Hulk, right? Wait.
Oh, She-Hulk.
Yeah, She-Hulk forgot about that. I mean, we love that so much. Unequivocally.
They were close together, though. They've blended together in my brain.
Yes, they did. We had She-Hulk. I really expected that we would get, at the very least, What If or something like that by this point. But... yeah, nothing. And there was obviously nothing coming up in February. They'll be announcing March towards the end of the month, so maybe we'll get something in March. But I don't know. It's weird.
Well, and let me throw out, like, maybe that's intentional. Maybe Quantumania really is a formative movie for what's coming next, and they need that to come out before they can get to anything else.
I guess we will see. All right. Why don't we move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Hey, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to online at Midtown Comics, or, of course, Long John Silver for some reason. Because Alex is a toolbox, and just need a first hand up guy.
Long John Silver is basically a garbage plate when you think.
Yes, and to mention, you definitely need headphones if you're coming in on Crowdcast. If you're on YouTube, just say "Hey me," and we'll get to you.
Justin, I don't want to brush past this complete insult that you just said. Did you just compare garbage plates and Long John Silver's motherfucker?
I'm just saying there's a lot of components. You could go into a Long John Silver.
No, there isn't, okay? The garbage plate is not fast food, okay? You asshole.
You're saying it's better than fast food.
Yes.
Ooh, we have David Quinley on YouTube says, I'll do it. David, you're in. You got it. But also, you're going to be on a delay, so I'm going to feed you the question. So, Pete, you ready?
I'll casually continue this argument.
Great.
Starting with the flute.
I'm going strong with the flute. You don't normally hear that. Today's got to be special, I guess. Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend Cindy Williams, RIP. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. What broke streaming records on Disney Plus? Was it A, Wakanda Forever? B, What the Shark? Or C, Carrie Fisher? So it's either A, Wakanda Forever, or you could be completely wrong. What are you feeling like?
Yeah. Knowing Pete, you could probably ace this quiz without ever hearing the clues.
That's true.
While we're waiting here, we got a topic I missed on YouTube that we can discuss throughout the breaks. This is from All in the Game. Guess we're not talking about Quantum Mania reviews, All in the Game says. Specifically asked, can't really tell from the early reviews if Jeff Loveless's screenplay makes us more or less confident Avengers Kang Dynasty. We'll get back to that in a second because David Quinley says, hey, let's go over to the second question.
All right, great. Question number two. What got canceled at HBO Max? Was it A, Pennyworth, B, Dream On, or C, Henry Winkler?
Uh-oh, multiple correct answers here.
No, well, HBO Max, my friend, HBO Max being the key word there. It's only one option, and again,
what if
the first
Winkler
one.
What if Henry Winkler gets canceled for some like weird, like he catches a fish that's too big or something?
Could be. Real quick, other reviews I'll mention. Yeah. There were a bunch of screenings last night, and fans came out
have
with
you
the
seen
usual
it?
Reactions. I have not seen it. My take, yeah, you got me, Pete. My take on it is usually you get over the moon. This is the best Marvel movie ever. Oh, my God, right. I love it so much. This one was like, wow, this is really kicking off Phase 5.
Yeah.
Which indicates to me that they don't want to say anything bad because they were invited to the premiere. Maybe it's very mixed. Maybe it's very bad. But apparently Jonathan Majors is good as Kang. So there you go. David's question is A. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. All right. Nice. Unfortunately, Pennyworth got the axe. All right. Question number three.
And Dream On was canceled in the late 90s?
Yes, but that was on regular HBO, not HBO Max.
Yeah. And real quick, I didn't watch Pennyworth. Did he eventually buttle by the season finale?
Yeah,
we'll never know. We'll never know.
It's like Wolverine popping his claws.
Yeah, the last shot, I believe, of season three was he looks over at a broom and he's like, next time.
All right. Question number three. Avatar the Last Airbender returns to comics with whom at the lead? Is it A, Azula, B, Appa, or C, Ben Powers?
Great question. I guess we'll see what David says here.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Quantum Mania based on the...
It sounds like it's messy. It sounds like it's a lot. And it makes sense because it's their comedy...
Quantum Mania.
Well, but it's like their comedy forward movie that's having to do a lot of plot heavy lifting. And there's a huge amount of characters because of all the characters that were in Ant-Man and Wasp. Plus you got Kang having a central role and whatever machinations and surprise guests that are going to pop up. So it's like, maybe it's too much, which is a common problem in superhero movies.
And then you got to have my guy Pena recap and things. You know what I mean? You can't have an Ant-Man movie.
I don't even know if
he's
in it. Maybe he's not in it.
Don't say stuff like that.
Maybe he dies. He dies at the end.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to put out there.
David says, hey, I think David is correct.
A is correct.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
David, congratulations. You've got either a gift card to Long John Silver's or to Midtown Comics. Email us comicbookclublive@gmail.com and we'll get that out to you. Pete,
think about your choice.
What was your tribute for?
Of course, it was for the 1976 smash hit Laverne and Shirley.
Nice.
Very nice. Not to sour your tribute section or anything, but I did want to mention, just because you're never going to talk about this, he was never in any TV shows or movies or anything, but Lee Motor, the co-creator of Stargirl, actually passed away today.
Yeah. Oh,
so I wanted to give a quick shout out to him. Great artist, great creator.
Yeah.
Worked on a ton of DC books in particular, and very awesome. So again, not to take away from your very beautiful tribute.
Now, I feel weird I'm not honoring a person who recently died. Like, odd man out.
Oh, boy. I'm sure somebody else died recently. You know what didn't die is comics. They're always coming back for more. What are you guys looking forward to? Pete, what are you looking forward to that's coming out this week?
Oh, my God. There's so many great comics out this week. It was really hard. I mean, there was just one banger after the next. I'm looking forward to Alien number 6, All Against All number 3, and then Daredevil number 8. Daredevil number 8.
Oh, man, you love the number 8.
What?
I'm surprised you like Daredevil number 8.
Oh, really?
The two characters that I think are going to fight in there, they seem like people that you both like. I got to give a shout out to a comic that we will no doubt argue about in our Stack podcast, The Amazing Spider-Man number 19, where we've got...
Yawn.
we are looking forward to some Peter Parker, some Black Cat, some Mary Jane. We're going to have a lot of fun with that one. I love, a little preview, I love Black Cat and Spider-Man dating. That's the relationship I want to see. Also wanted to shout out one other one, Spy Superb number 2.
Yes,
we had Matt Kent on, the writer and artist of this book, couple weeks ago, talking about this book. It's super fun.
We should have talked to him about this issue, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we did.
We should have.
Definitely check it out. It's very fun.
Couple of things I'm looking forward to. Miracle Man, the Silver Age number 4. This
really?
Is the first issue. Yes, we talked about this on the podcast several times, but this is the first issue of unreleased material from Neil Gaiman and Mark Buckingham, so I'm very curious to see how that turns out, given that this is decades in the making at this point. Another one we've been really enjoying, Two Graves from Image Comics, this book about a woman who is seemingly traveling with death. There's a lot more going on there, and it's not quite clear, but I'm very curious to see how this book goes. And I mentioned this earlier, I mentioned Know Your Station earlier, but Sarah Gailey and Liana Kangas put it together, this very disturbing, very hilarious space mystery. So love picking up that every month. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Ari Gross for coming on to talk about Awakening. That is on Kickstarter until February 26th. Also, Cam Krukow. Check out Zoop's Gilgamesh. Yeah. There, I believe, 23 days left on that for you to pledge. Great book, beautiful art. Next week, we're going to have Rich Davis is on the show to talk about Prometheus and Chains, continuing our mythology theme.
Yeah.
I guess.
Mythology.
Sure. CC Afini is going to be here to talk about Mythfall, continuing the theme.
Nice.
If you want to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. You can subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram or TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, good night.
Good night, folks.
Hey,
all
thanks.
Garbage plates in March. That's all I'm eating.
Oh, nice. Also, a shout out to Nat for not interrupting our show this week. That was nice, man. Thanks.
You're tempting fate, man.
You can't. It's too late.
There's always time.
Kimmy Cable. It's a giant beer, man. It's a giant beer you're drinking.